started. Page 68. Let's all stand. I'm glad to behold my way, Lord, to glory land. It's my only hope and stay, only by the hand. It's such joy to understand, think that I never knew. Keep my promise to the Lord, I'm always through. I'm here for what hope he made in my soul.
Good to be back in the house of God tonight. If you're glad, you know that your Redeemer will lead you safely through. Say amen tonight. Thank God. It's wonderful to be here. I'm so glad you're here. Good to see you back. Got a good number in the choir tonight. The choir showed up. That's good, good, good. Amen. Thank the Lord for the wonderful service this morning. If you're glad you heard that good preaching this morning, say amen. Thank God for the Christ life, for the self life. And that's exactly what this thing is. Amen. Becoming what you already are. What a wonderful message. If you didn't get to hear it this morning, I want you to go back and listen to it on our live stream, sermon audio, Facebook, whichever way you can. I thank God that message changed my life some years ago. Thank the Lord for the truth of the Word of God. Appreciate the service tonight. Wonderful to be here. Got my amen corner right over here. Amen. It's wonderful. Thank God. Amen. Wonderful to be in church. Tell you what, you enjoy the choir. I hope you come seeking the Lord this evening. I promise you, if you come seeking something from Him, He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And I'm grateful. If you draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh to you. And good to be here. Good to have some visitors in the crowd tonight. Glad to have our new church members back on Sunday night. Ain't that a blessing? Amen. Thank the Lord. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. You do as the Lord bids you. Obey Him. If you need to pray at any point during this service, you come and pray. If you need to testify, if you feel a pressing on your heart to raise your hand, shout a little bit, weep and cry, hey, we ain't going to get in your way. Let the Lord work in your heart. Brother Terry, come on and sing.
Now he's
Amen. Thank God. Aren't you glad He's more than enough tonight? I tell you, you can look back over your life. I love how the psalmist would look back over what God has done to remind the current generation that He's more than capable to do it again. Amen. And He will do it again. Thank God. You can be seated tonight. I want to give you an opportunity to worship the Lord through giving. And you be obedient to the Lord as the Lord touches you. Thank the Lord for His provision. Brother John Duren, if you would stand and pray over the offering and the service for us, please, tonight. Brother, ask the Lord to help us. Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you so much, sister. Wasn't that a blessing? There's one thing One man said he walked into a church and said the moderator of the service was busy pumping everybody up, and his first words to the congregation was, "How y'all feeling?" And the visiting preacher that was with him said, "Well, I'm feeling pretty rotten. I don't feel too good." And the man went on a little further and said, "Come on, it's time to feel good." The moderator said, "It's time to feel good." And that preacher, from the depths of his soul, was crying, "Don't ask me how I feel. Ask me what I know. And I know Him tonight. I know His Word is true. I know what His promise is right and real, thank God. I'm glad He wants us to know that." Well, we got a special surprise tonight. These ain't no strangers to y'all, I don't believe. We got Brother Cape Guthrie and Sister Caitlin, and Brother Cape had said they were going to stop in on us and surprise us sometime, and I'm glad that's tonight. Aren't y'all glad to have them here tonight, church? And see, y'all pray for them as they sing. And we love, these are some dear friends of ours. Went to church with them for years. And I'm awful glad to see them. They're going to be married before too long. Ain't that a blessing? So y'all be sure to stop by and really encourage Sister Caitlin and really line Brother Cape out, because both of them needs each of that. All right, so y'all pray. Y'all come on and sing tonight.
Daniel found him faithful in a lion's den. He sent fire down from heaven when Elijah called on him. And though Joseph was forsaken, he was rewarded with the throne. And when David felt his heart break, he could sing this song. Every need supplied, every moment satisfied. And every time I call His name, I know I'll find Him just the same. If you've gone out,
Brother Cape, Sister Caitlin, Brother Taylor, come on and preach to us tonight, brother. Thank the Lord for that good singing this evening. Bless my heart, bless my soul. I thank the Lord for it. Appreciate Brother Taylor. Again, I told you this morning, for those that wasn't here, had the privilege of driving Brother Taylor for a couple years to his meetings. It was a blessing to my soul. I told him last night, I said, Brother Taylor, I'm confident I learned more at your feet than I could at a four-year seminary. And I love being with Brother Taylor and traveling with him, my family's best friend. I told you, he taught my dad at Bible Institute for a New Testament survey before I was even born. Matter of fact, Brother Taylor, you may not know this, but my mama was pregnant with me when you taught my daddy New Testament survey all those years ago. It's such a blessing. I love Brother Taylor. Wonderful this morning. You listen to him tonight. He's got a message to bring to us. And, Brother Preacher, you preach to us. Follow the Lord. I love you.
Love you, too. Love you, Jay. Amen. See if I'm on.
I believe you're on, Preacher. Yep. Yes, sir. You're on.
It was already on. All right. Well, good evening. Hope y'all had a good day. But John Day on his wife back here. Preached a number of times for Brother Dale. Preached for him when he used to pastor way down in South Georgia, Waycross. His wife got saved when I was preaching down there. You hear about these three Indians that went deer hunting? But one of them was mentally retarded. So the first Indian went out. Killed a deer, brought him back into camp. The mentally retarded Indian said, "How'd you do that?" Indian said, "Me find tracks. He thought a track, boom, I'm going to get there." So the mentally retarded Indian said, I see. And that other Indian went out. He killed a deer, brought his deer back in the camp. Once again, the mentally retarded Indian said, "How'd you do that?" Indian said, "Me find track. He thought a track, boom, I'm going to get there." So the mentally retarded Indian said, "Well, I'm going to go kill a deer." So he went out to kill a deer long time before he came back. He came back, he banded from top to the head, bottom of his feet was on crutches. The other two Indians said, "What happened to you? What in the world happened to you?" He said, "They find tracks. They follow tracks. Boom, they get hit by a train." Thank you, my brother. Amen. Well, we got to laugh sometime, or there's a whole lot to cry about. Open your Bibles. Turn to 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians chapter 12. I promise you I'd preach for the help of God to see on the ministry of the thorn. I hope this will be a help to some of you that are suffering, that are in a lot of pain. Some of you are probably in pain right now while you're sitting there in that pew. Second Corinthians chapter 12, beginning with verse 7, Paul said, "And lest I should be exalted above measure to the abundance of the revelations, that was given to me a thorn in the flesh. The messenger of Satan buffeted me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing, I besought the Lord thrice, it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. To me, that's one of the greatest statements in the Bible. And that verse really means a lot to me since I had died from that COVID, since I'm still suffering as a result of that, fighting with this vertigo. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then am I strong. Key verse on the text, of course, is verse 7. Lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelations that was given to me, a thorn in the flesh. The messenger of Satan above me, lest I should be exalted above measure. I have a word of prayer with you, and I'm preaching on the ministry of the thorn. Hope this will be a help to a lot of you. God, our Father and our God in heaven, God, thanks for the privilege to be back to see them. Thank you, Lord, for giving us a good service this morning. But Father, you know, I'm very conscious of the fact that past victory is not sufficient for present or future victory. So in Jesus' name, give us victory in this service this evening. Thanks for each member of this church. Thanks for each one that's present here this evening. Father, I pray, God, for those here this evening that are in pain, that are suffering. You have a thorn in the flesh. Give them the same grace you gave Paul. And God, I don't think you promised to us. You can't lie. You said, my grace is sufficient for thee. God, you proved that on my behalf, and I thank you for it. I thank you. Please now, God, use us this evening as servants to be a blessing to your people. Please comfort your people. Help your people, God. And if there's one here this evening lost in Jesus' name, save that soul. Father, we thank you. Continue to bless Brother Shuler, God, is standing in this church. Thank you, these are our precious brothers and sisters in Christ. There's just no people like your people. No Father like you. No one like you, Jesus. Oh, precious Jesus, we love you. Speak now, God, speak. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The ministry of the thorn. There are a lot of ministers in and through the church. You got preaching, teaching, praying, soul winning, visitation. Some churches have a TV ministry, radio ministry. Some churches have a jail ministry, prison ministry, CD ministry, music ministry, youth ministry. bus ministry, deaf ministry, but all of these are ministries to others. A thorn is a ministry to me and you. I'm talking about the ministry of the thorn. There's a difference now between trials and thorns. Trials are more temporary. They come and go, and all Christians have trials. Simon Peter said, think it not strange concerning the fire trial which is tried as though some strange things happen to you. But not all Christians have a thorn. If you're successful at anything, it doesn't just have to be the ministry. If you're successful at anything, you're a candidate for the thorn. I mean, you could be a successful doctor, lawyer. You could be a successful banker, farmer. You could be a successful, mechanic, carpenter. On and on we could go. And if you're successful, the devil's going to do everything he can to try to get you lifted up with pride. Therefore, don't be surprised if you have a thorn in the flesh. Then there's the difference between chastisement and thorns. Chastisement is to get the sin out once it gets in, but a thorn is to keep the sin from ever getting in. I want to share six simple thoughts with you, and I'll let you go. We're going to notice, first of all, Paul's privileges, then Paul's peril, Paul's pain, Paul's prayer, Paul's provisions, and last of all, Paul's praise. Just like God gave it to me back years and years ago. I've preached this message a lot since I came down with that COVID. But we notice, first of all, Paul's privileges. Paul was greatly blessed of God. You notice in verse 7, he said, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation that was given to me, a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buff me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Notice he mentions the abundance of revelation. How about Paul's privilege? He wrote half the New Testament. Paul had several successful missionary journeys. He had a lot of people saved under his ministry. He established churches, ordained elders, greatly used of God. Amazing that a man of his caliber would need a thorn in the flesh. But he did. So if he needed a thorn, if he needed a thorn in the flesh, don't be surprised if you need one or if I need one. Some of us here this evening have definitely got a thorn in the flesh. One of my biggest ones is being almost completely deaf. I can take these hearing aids out and I can't hear a word you say, and that's the honest truth. Not a word. Not a word. If it wasn't for these hearing aids, I'd be living in a silent world. So thank God. I thank God for these hearing aids. I'm telling you, folks, as soon as we get that glorified body, we won't need hearing aids, glasses, walking canes, crutches, wheelchairs, doctors, the hospitals. Now, they don't even have aspirin over there. So Paul was greatly, greatly blessed of God. That brings me to Paul's peril. It's obvious what it was. Because in verse 7 he said, lest I should be exalted above measure twice. Folks, that's pride. Lest I should be exalted above measure. Pride. You know, the Bible says, pride goeth before destruction, the Holy Spirit before falling. The Bible says, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. The Bible says, six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are abomination to God in Proverbs 6. And the first one on the list is a proud look. I'm glad he gave me a cup of water instead of a bottle because I want to illustrate something. All right, I've got down about half full, a little over. I could walk back and forth probably across this platform for a good while without spilling a drop. But fill it up to the brim, folks. You get the message. It's hard to carry a full cup without spilling it. Martin Luther, what man got saved and come out of the Roman Catholic Church somewhat 400-500 years ago, made one of the most powerful statements I've ever read or heard in my life. Is what he said. He's my powerful. He said, I've often seen God and our preachers and leaders and churches to get into the sin of adultery as a judgment upon their sin of pride. I'm going to repeat that. He said, I've often seen God and our preachers and leaders and churches to get into the sin of adultery as a judgment upon their sin of pride. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. I've seen this happen. I'm not going to call any names, but I could, and you know some of them. One of them used to pastor one of the biggest churches in this country. I still remember the time that he was preaching in a church that he was not pastoring, but he was preaching a meeting there, having morning and evening services. After one of the morning services, we all went over to the dining hall to eat. I remember that man sat across the table from me at an angle I could have reached over and touched his hand. So I just sat there and listened. He did most of the talking. By the time he finished talking, I said to myself, I said, this has got to be one of the most arrogant men I've ever met in my life. Boy, he was stuck on himself. He thought he was it. The center of the whole thing. And folks, it wasn't long after that before that very thing happened to him. He got into the sin of adultery as a judgment upon his son of pride. I'm going to tell you, God hates pride. He hates my pride. He hates your pride. He hates the devil's pride. Pride's what got the devil kicked out of heaven. God said, my glory will I give unto no man. You put your hands on the glory of God, God will back off of it. He won't allow you or me or anybody to steal his glory. He won't allow that. Better watch that pride. I don't know why we have to get so full of pride when the Bible says, what hast thou, Paul said, what hast thou that thou dost not receive? If you've received anything worth bragging about, then it didn't originate with you, it originated with God. So give God the glory. I still remember one time this pastor of this church, one of the members of that church was a cousin of mine. And he told me one day, he said, when that preacher gets to heaven, he's going to have a red spot on his back from patting himself on the back so much. Man, whew. That's a lot of pride. You read in the Bible, the different Bible characters. Some of them were even greatly used of God, but it came a time when they made shipwreck. You know why? They got lifted up with pride. King Uzziah, for an example. Man, how God used that man. But King Uzziah, later on in his life, got lifted up with pride, and God had to judge that man. God against that thing of pride. God against it. So we've seen Paul's failure, Paul's peril. Next of all, notice Paul's pain. The Bible plainly says, Paul said himself, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Now this thorn in the flesh, ladies, is not comparative to the thorn on your rose bush. No, a man as great as Apostle Paul is not going to be begging God to remove a little thorn about like that. I've studied this out. This thorn here is more like it's a stake. That's what it is. It's like a post that's sharpened on end. And they would impale people on those things. They'd take them and slam them down on that post and it would go on a rib cage. Paul said, that's the kind of a thorn I've got. He said, this thorn I got in the flesh is comparative to that. It's that painful. Very painful. Now, don't want to beg God to take it away. And then he said, the master of Satan, the buffet man, what that means is the slug to beat with a fist. From the time that God gave Paul this thorn, the devil beat Paul left and right. He knocked him down sometimes, but he never knocked him out. You read what Paul said, Satan hindered us. Paul's pain. It's very obvious from this chapter that the Apostle Paul was a better man after God gave him this thorn. He thought it was going to limit him. God said, oh no, no. My strength is made perfect in weakness. See, God's ways are not our ways. So if you have a thorn in the flesh, I know it's a very powerful negative statement to say, but you're better off with it than without it. And some of you have got a thorn in the flesh, I'm sure. Now, if all you do is warm a spot on a pew and you don't read your Bible, you don't pray, you don't seek God, you're a worldly Christian. Say yes, but you're a worldly Christian. You're calling a Christian. then you don't need a thorn. Now what you need is chastisement. If you keep living like that, you're going to get it too. Well, this Bible makes clear and plain that God chastens those whom He loves, His own children. So my Paul's pain. Now your thorn may not be my thorn, or my thorn may not be yours. Your thorn in the flesh, you have a thorn. Could be arthritis. There are probably folks in here that's ate up with arthritis. My hands is ate up with it. Oh, my. I've done a lot of hard manual labor with these hands over the years. Running chainsaws and things like that. I've done a lot of that when I wasn't preaching. So I sleep with a pair of soft gloves on my hands. That's how bad they hurt. Arthritis. I got a pair over there in the motel room right now. A pair of soft gloves. I wear when I go to bed at night. Because it's arthritis. Your thorn could be arthritis. Your thorn could be recurring kidney stones. I've never had one, but I understand that is excruciating. Very, very painful. I'm going to give you some medical advice. It won't cost you as much as your doctor will charge you. If you got problems with arthritis, then something will help it. It's cod liver oil. I can almost hear somebody saying, I believe I'd rather have arthritis than have to drink that stuff. If you have kidney stones, I know of a man, his name is Hugh Nix, had kidney stones, the worst of anybody I've ever heard of in my life. But he found he could drink 2 8-ounce glasses of grape juice, and it had, for some reason or another, it needed to be Welch. But he could drink 2 glasses of Welch grape juice a day, and it reduced his kidney stones greatly. So you might want to go buy you some Welch's grape juice if you have problems with kidney stones. And you certainly want to get some cod liver oil if you got arthritis. This thorn in the flesh could be chronic sinus problem. Here's a big one. This thorn in the flesh could be migraine headaches. See some people doing like that, and apparently they have migraine headaches. My pastor has them the worst of anybody I've ever seen in my life. He don't seem to have them as bad as he used to. But I can remember when he had a migraine headache, he didn't have to tell me. I could look in his eyes and tell he had a migraine headache. Very painful. Your thorn in the flesh could be heart problems. Cancer. Your thorn in the flesh could be a nervous condition. Now you've had several nervous breakdowns. Let me throw this out while I'm at it. If you have a severe nervous breakdown, you may get over most of it, but you won't probably get over all of it. I'm not saying that to discourage you. It's just something about having a bad nervous breakdown that'll go with you the rest of your life. Oh, you can function and keep going, but you'll know that you had it for the rest of your life. You'll know you had it. Here's a big one. Depression. The great Baptist preacher, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, one of the greatest preachers that ever lived. He stood before his people in that big church, Metropolitan Tabernacle, there in London, England. Stood before some 5,000 people more than one time and said, I hope none of you have such fits of depression as I have. Sometimes people get so depressed until they would have to come and get him out of the bed. They claim there's some 30 million people in America alone with mental and emotional disorders. We consume some 24 tons of tranquilizers, sleeping pills, pills of that nature, every day in America alone. You don't need to run out here and get on some kind of guilt trip if you need medication. And here's a big one. Diabetes. The crowd this large is part of somebody in here that's got diabetes. I'd kill my brother. That only one brother in diabetes got him. Then your thorn in the flesh could be a chemical imbalance in your brain or in your blood. We're talking about the ministers, the thorns. And if you have a thorn in the flesh, you're not going to be able to get rid of it. I'm not trying to discourage you, but once God gave Paul this thorn, he never took it back. And I want you to notice Paul said in verse 7, that was given to me. A gift. Your thorn in the flesh is a gift from God. That's a bitter pill to swallow. But God gives thorns to you and I. And like I said before, and I repeat it because repetition is good, you're better off with it than without it. Next of all, we see Paul's prayer. He prayed about it. You may not know for sure whether you've got a thorn or not until you commit it to God in prayer. But let me say this before I leave Paul's pain. If you have got a thorn, now not a trial, if you have a thorn in the flesh, you're not going to be able to go to enough doctors. You're not going to be able to take enough medication to get rid of it. If you could, it wouldn't be a thorn. So we look at Paul's prayer. Paul prayed about this. He said in verse 8, for this thing I have besought the Lord thrice. The word besought means to beg. Paul didn't say just a Sunday school prayer. I mean, he prayed fervently and earnestly for God to take it away. And I believe if God would hear anybody's prayers, they'd hear the Apostle Paul's prayers. No, God didn't take it away. God said, no, Paul, I'm sorry, but I can't answer your prayer. I got something better in mind than taking your thorn away.
Yeah. Yes,
so pray about it. God's not a stoic. I think of what Jesus said. They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Jesus said sick people need a doctor. So if you can get help, go to it. But I repeat, if you have a thorn in the flesh, you won't be able to get help. Because you're better off with it than without it. I've been ear specialist. I've had people to pray over me. I've had people to anoint me with oil and pray over me. By the way, those who anointed me with oil and prayed over me, they were Baptists. I'm not going to get Benny Hinn to anoint me with oil and pray over me. I'll probably go completely deaf if he does. I wouldn't ask that man to pray for me if he's sitting right there on the front. By the way, I've done my homework. I know more about the charismatic movement than you probably realize. I could share some documentary material with you of the immorality that's in that charismatic movement. For example, Benny Hinn and Paula White, they spent several nights together in a 5-star motel in Rome. What hypocrites. I personally believe Benny Hinn's a false prophet. And while I'm at it, I believe Howard Rodney Brown is too. I hope you don't send none of them money, or you just will take it and throw it in the trash can. I'm not being mean or older, but God said that there's going to be a lot of deception in the last days. God said that people would depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of the devil. The Bible talks about the Antichrist going to deceive people with signs and lying wonders. And in the charismatic movement, they really emphasize the signs and lying wonders and all that stuff. People used to think that Oral Roberts, that he was really something, boy. Faith healer. Like I said, go home, do your homework. One time the wind got up in one of his crusades, and on that big tent he had, blew the tent down, some of them steel poles injured some of the people. You think he went over and laid hands on them and healed any of them? No, they got the ambulances out there and took them to the hospital. Well, come on, Oral. You can't be a faith healer. Won't you heal them? You know, on television, you see a lot of these charismatic preachers and programs and one thing or another, and faith healers, so-called. And you watch them closely. You'll see them roll a person up there, you know. Or help somebody that maybe has got diabetes, something you can't see. Oh, they'll claim. And they'll claim to heal them. I remember right after God saved me, been a long time ago now, there's a lady in our church who had a sister in a church at Macon, Georgia, whose pastor was a woman, and she was a so-called faith healer. And I hadn't been saved long. I didn't know no better. She taught me to go and let that woman lay hands on me and try to heal me, my ears. So I went up there and I got in line. I walked up there where she was at. She asked me what was wrong. I said, well, I'm healed to death. Can't you hear? You know what that woman did? She went, pow! Just laid it on my ears. You say, did she heal you? Well, the obvious is obvious. But all she did was knock the dust out of my ears. Paul prayed about it.
Yes, sir. Yes.
So pray about it. If God doesn't take it away, then you've got a thorn. And just like the Apostle Paul, you'll carry it with you all the way to the grave. And don't get discouraged. Don't get out of heart because I'm telling you, we're better off with these thorns than without them. See, Paul thought that was the most detrimental thing that could happen to him was have a thorn, and he begged God to take it away. God said, no. No, I'm going to take you to a higher level, especially. I'm going to use you more than I ever have because of this thorn. Oh, you can't beat God. God's ways are not our ways, but they sure are good. Then we see Paul's provisions. He begged God to take it away. And the Lord said in verse 9, no, my grace is sufficient for thee. My grace is sufficient for thee. It's about Paul's provisions. Reminds me of a true story. This man had the money to afford a Rolls Royce. By the way, we looked it up to see what one of them things cost. And the one we looked up cost $325,000. Boy, that's not chicken feed. That's a lot of money. Rolls Royce. I'm satisfied with my Chevrolet. If you got a Ford, I feel sorry for you. You know the difference between a Ford and a golf ball, don't you? You can drive a golf ball 300 yards. Somebody said them Fords must have some beautiful motors because every time you see one, they got the hood up looking at it. No, if you got a Ford, you may be better off than those of us that's got a Chevrolet, but I doubt it. But this man was a wealthy man. He could afford a Rolls Royce. So he looked him over, liked what he saw. He thought he'd go home and think about it before he would commit himself. Just before he walked out the door, he turned back and looked at that salesman or the owner. He said, by the way, how much horsepower does this thing have? How much horsepower does this thing have? And the man said, well, Didn't scratch his head. He said, I'll look into that. I'll wire you. I'll let you know. So the next day, he wired him two words. That's all. Horsepower adequate. There was enough horsepower on the hood of that car to cause it to do what they designed it to do. And thank God there's enough of the grace of God of Jesus Christ to cause you and I to do what God wants us to do. My grace is sufficient for thee. Praise His holy name. Last of all, we'll see Paul's praise and I'm done. How did Paul react to this? Boy, this is amazing. You're talking about a Christian. This man was a great Christian. Paul said in the middle of verse 9, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Paul, you glad about it? What it says. What a Christian. I believe Paul, the greatest Christian ever lived. Then he said, in verse 10, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities. Yes. I take pleasure in it. What a Christian. And you know, he said several times here, he said, Jesus told him, said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in what? In weakness. Then the last part of verse 10. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Paul says, when I'm weak, I'm strong. God's ways are rather opposite of man's ways. Darwin's theory of evolution, he taught the survival of the fittest. This Bible teaches the survival of the weakest. Now, we're still supposed to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. The Bible teaches that. But that's not what I'm talking about now. I'm talking about God's strength made perfect in our physical weakness. I've been preaching for years and years that if God could ever get you and I weak enough, there's no telling how strong He'd be on our behalf. We're getting God's way. Like the great preacher from England, great writer Martin Lloyd-Jones said, he said, self is a monster in every one of us. That's true. I shave my number one problem every day, Milton Taylor. I've caused me more problems than the devil ever thought about. Self. Self. You have a thorn in the flesh of Satan. Don't you let the devil tell you the reason why you suffer like you do is because God doesn't love you. No, he's a liar and a father. Don't you listen to him. Who knows? If you and I didn't have a thorn in the flesh, we may not even be in church this evening. I'm through preaching. We just stand on your feet. It's about eyes closed. I have a word of prayer with you. Some of you may want to come to this altar while I'm praying. I encourage you, don't try to bear that burden alone. It's God give you grace, just like Paul. God gave Paul grace. Don't you try to bear that burden your own strength. Our Father and our God in heaven, God, Father, thank you, dear God. Thank you, God, that you meant what you said when you said what you did. You said, my grace is sufficient for thee. Thank you, God, for grace, greater than all of our sin, grace greater than all of our suffering. Thank you for grace for every trial, grace for every thorn. God, thank you, God. Yes, your ways are not our ways. Your thoughts are not our thoughts, but it's your good. It's your right. So, Father, help us that we won't rebel. Help us we won't turn bitter. Help us, dear God, to surrender to what you're trying to do in our life. Help us realize we're better off with the thorn than without it. Open eyes, God, this evening. Open eyes, God. Oh, thank you for these, our precious brothers and sisters in Christ. Please give them grace for whatever they're going through. And Father, we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name. We're going to sing. Y'all going to sing? Some of you may want to come on to the altar and talk to Jesus about this. Would you come? Oh, pray about it. Why don't we pray about it? Would you come?
Have thine own way.
Yeah, that's it. Have thine own way.
Thou art the potter.
You have to be careful. You'll turn better.
I am the clay. Hold me and make me.
Would you come?
I can about see Paul coming that first time after God gave him the thorn, saying, Lord, remove this thorn from me. You know I could serve you better. You know I'd have more ability. You know I'd have more strength. No answer. No answer. I see him coming a little weaker the next time, Brother Tim. A little more broken down, Brother Ron. A little slower. Lord, I come to you this second time. Father, I've asked you already once, but I'm coming again. Take it away from me. Lord, if I was different than I am, Lord, then I'd be in better shape. I'd be able to serve your church better. I'd be able to preach more. I'd be able to serve more. I'd be able to minister more. I'd be able to do more. I'd be happier. I'd be more well off. I'd be more charismatic. I'd be better to be able to work the crowd more. Remove this thorn. Remove this thing from my life. No answer. I see a broken down, weak, misunderstanding. See, you got to understand the Jews and the Jewish culture. I'm not adding anything to the preaching tonight. But the Jewish culture exalted strength. The Roman culture exalted strength. These are a people where the Olympic Games were founded. They didn't exalt weakness. They didn't lift it up. They idolized strength. This is the first time this truth is, and God gives it to Paul to give to us. He comes that third time beaten and broken and misunderstanding and confused. And says, God, please remove this thorn from me. I can serve you better. I'm begging you, God. He besought the Lord. He begged him in contrition, remove this thorn from me. Take it away. I can't bear it. I won't bear it anymore. I can't do it. And God broke silence. He broke silence until you get to Revelation, all the way back to Acts. This is the first time that the Lord allowed one of his men to write about something he spoke to him personally. And we've got it right here in 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. And he said unto me, my grace, hallelujah, my grace is sufficient. That means it'll get the job done. Horsepower, adequate. And I'll tell you something. Your strength ain't going to help anybody. My strength ain't going to help anybody. But you want to know whose strength will get the job done? The strength of the one that's living inside of me. Woo. I ain't got to preach today, but I'm wanting to right now. The strength of the living Christ. Hallelujah. The ministry of the thorn. There's been some times in my life, some things that I don't even understand about myself. Ask God. You have the same questions. You have the same wonders. God, why is this so? If he can ever get us weak enough, ain't no telling what he can do. God help us to. Now let me. I'm done. Y'all really believe that, don't you? In the line of work, the industry we're in, occasionally we'll have to clear right-of-way work, R-O-W, right-of-way. That's what the state owns, or the federal government. Whatever they own, that's their right-of-way. Now, occasionally, in clearing right-of-way work. You're going to have property owners that think that their property extends in to that right-of-way. And they'll build walls, fences, they'll put mailboxes, they'll build storage sheds. I seen it in such a way that one time one fella built the tip of his swimming pool over into the right-of-way. What are you saying, Brother Jay? I'm telling you, God owns what's His. And you've been purchased with a price. And you are not your own. You are God's. If you're saved, you're God's tonight. And He ain't going to ask you if He can move your mailbox, if He can move your fence, if He can move your swimming pool. God looked at Paul and said, I've got too much invested in you for you to get lifted up in pride. Too much invested. I loved how Brother Taylor said tonight. I loved how he said tonight. You may not even be in church this evening without the thorn God's put in your life. I say I trust Him tonight. I trust Him in this life to have His will and to have His way and to do, to act in any way in my life. I just want to yield right away to Him. Want to yield the right of way and say, not my will. Like Christ in the garden. As He was being pressed, that olive press, Brother Taylor, Gethsemane, as He was in that garden, that means olive press, as He was being pressed, as Christ was being pressed, He said, Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But if not, Thy will be done. Have Your way in my life, Lord. Have Your will in my life. If it's a thorn that I need, Thy will be done. Amen. What wonderful, 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 wonderful preaching. If you're glad you came to the house of God tonight, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. It's been so wonderful.